Today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares reminds us of the reason for studying Scriptures.
Read the Word of God from cover to cover, not because it's an assignment from your very demanding pastor. And don't do it so you can be a super smart Bible guy. Get into the Word of God because you want to be like Christ and you want to know and love Christ. Not just to know about Him, but to have a relationship with Christ that is real, that is genuine, that is growing because you spend time in His Word.
Imagine if you were a kid again, coming home to a list of chores from your mom. Would you be too busy to read it? Maybe you disagree with what she's written, or have a different interpretation. Well, when she gets home, you'd better have a good excuse for dawdling. Well, today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares encourages every believer to give God's Word the time it deserves, and warns about the danger of missing the point. Don't get caught unprepared. Let's listen now to his message, Making the Most of Daily Bible Study.
You got to know that the Bible is essential. Therefore, we have to treat it as essential. And we have to get into it, and we need to work hard at trying to grasp and understand what he has said in the Word. Because the pundits will come and go, the commentators, the preachers, the prophets, the opinionated folks are going to come and go. But as Isaiah 40 says, verse number 8, the Word of the Lord will stand forever. Secondly, I need to let my thoughts be shaped by this book. I need truth to come from this. It is the final arbiter of what is right and wrong, what is true, what God requires, what God expects. Okay, great. You don't need to turn there unless you want to, or right next door, but Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 makes it clear that if you're going to get this knowledge of God, it's going to be hard. It is going to be a struggle. It is more work than you think it is. Bible study is not easy. Put it in the terms of Proverbs. Later in the book, he says, it is God's glory to conceal a matter, and it is a king's glory to extract it or uncover it, to discover it. He says in verses 1 through 5 of Proverbs 2, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commands within you, making your ear attentive to wisdom, you're straining to hear it and inclining your heart to understanding, I want to get it. Yes, if you call out for insight and you raise your voice for understanding, you got to really want it. If you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, and that's never just right there on the surface, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and then you'll find the knowledge of God. I mean, this is going to be work. And speaking of work, I rattled off 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God what's the next word? A what? Workman. The workman, the Greek word he chooses for that is the day laborer, the worker in the field, the guy getting sunburnt with the sore back who's out there picking the harvest, a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. You want to handle the word? You want to be skilled in the word of righteousness? You want to be trained in constant practice to have your discernment razor sharp? Well, it's going to be hard. The workman, the Greek word he chooses for that is the day laborer, a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. You want to handle the word? You want to be skilled in the word of righteousness? You want to be trained in constant practice to have your discernment razor sharp? Well, it's going to be hard. If you understand the essential nature of the Bible to the Christian life, and you understand how good it will be when we become skilled in it, it's worth the work. You got to make the time for this. Two parts of this. Number one, I want you to read it through from cover to cover, and when you get to the end, to start over and do it again. Read the whole thing. Don't tell me that you're a Christian and you base your life on the truth of this book and you're not going through it continually. Read the Word of God from cover to cover. This is such a safeguard against so much of the garbage out there that is pawned off in the name of Christianity. All I say, almost, I say it at least, I don't know, once a week, twice a month at least. I'll say, you know, if people read their Bible from cover to cover, they'd never fall for that. I say that all the time. Because I think here's a guy who's kind of pandering to the appetites of people with a kind of manufactured Christ or a manufactured God. And I say all you'd have to do is to read the Bible a few times through and you'd see that immediately as a false God. Read the Bible. Read through it. Because God expects us to love His Word and to read it at the very least, okay? Read the Bible all the way through. Get in it every day. Secondly, study at least one verse a day. One verse a day. There's a difference between reading and study. You could pick a verse from what you just read. You're going to read 3 chapters or 2.5 chapters a day. You might want to pick just one verse out of that and study that verse. That'll be harder than what I would probably recommend if you're brand new at this, and that is go to a New Testament epistle and just start working through it a sentence at a time. Take the first sentence, and you need to ask 3 questions. We put them under the titles of, we call it the TAN method, then, always, now. T, then, A, always, N, now. TAN, then, always, now. I don't care what you call it. Anybody who's going to be handling the word accurately or skilled in its handling of the word, they're going to have to move from then to always to now. You cannot go to the Bible and say, what does it mean to me? That's the most ridiculous way to try and study your Bible. Frankly, I don't care what it means to you, okay? What I care is what it means. And what it means is what it's going to mean to the original recipients, what the original author intended. So I'm always going to take a verse. Let's say I start in Colossians. Great book to start in. If you've never studied verse by verse, just start in verse 1, move all the way through the book. You're going to get to some things there that you're going to have to make sure you say, what was this all about then? If you don't and you jump to now, you're going to misunderstand and misinterpret the word. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. It's going to talk about, you know, don't be taken captive by philosophy. If you take the 21st century definition of philosophy and you pin it on that word, you've just misread the text. Or it'll say, or the elementary principles. And you're going to think, well, if I think about elementary principles, what I think of, you're going to misunderstand the text. So you're going to need to get back into the sandals of the original audience, and you're going to have to think through this text. How did this apply in terms of meaning in the first century? What did this mean to the original audience? And you're going to learn, for instance, that the word philosophy is used in a way that is much broader than a guy with a pipe at the University of California. This is something that had to do with a kind of thinking that was devoid of God. Or elementary principles was actually a Persian concept where they used to talk about astrology and the stars governing our fate. And you're going to begin to recognize, okay, I see what Paul had in mind here and what he was warning the class. Well, how would I ever do that? I guess I have to become a pastor. Big library. You need one book for this. Buy a study Bible. That's what it's all about in a study Bible. The notes in a study Bible are all about trying to, in any time a verse has anything that might have a historical distance, it's trying to say, here's what that means. I guarantee you, you go to Colossians 2:8, and there's not a study Bible worth its price if it doesn't comment on what philosophy and elementary principles meant in the first century. And every good, the ESV study Bible, whatever study Bible you use, if it's a good, reputable study Bible, use the ESV. That's the text we use here. There's probably 5 or 6 different study Bibles that are based on the ESV text. Start with the ESV study Bible. It's a great one to have. And use the notes. And keep your mind at least for, I don't know, let's just say 10 minutes, thinking through the text in terms of its first century audience. Secondly, you then need to, from that original context, begin to articulate the always principles, always principles. You step out of the immediate context, which, by the way, is the word that should dominate the first section, context, 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 historical context, the literary context, the grammatical context. Now I'm going to get back into the always. In other words, what from this text applies across cultures and throughout time? It's an essential step in rightly studying the Bible, but you need to get to a place where you say, if I look at this text, what would transcend Colossae in the first century to be applicable outside of this text? There are 2 things that exist outside of the text all the time, and they're great diagnostic questions to ask, and that is God always exists outside of that context, so I need to ask, what do I learn about God in this context? That's a great way to figure out what the always principles are. You could be studying a passage in Leviticus about how the Levitical priest is supposed to prepare a sacrifice, and you'll say, wow, that has nothing to do with today. Don't leave it too quickly. Ask the question, what is the always principle here? And you need to start by saying things like, well, why would God ever require such a thing? What do I learn about God by that sacrificial instruction? And then the other thing that always transcends it is people. Sinful people, God's covenant people, and ask the questions that relate to that. What are the eternal principles? And whether you're in Colossians or Leviticus, you can start to, in quick little bullet points, write out eternal principles. Principles are always statements that transcend time. Then, now this is super important, catch this now, The third thing that I write on my piece of paper or my Word doc on my computer is now. And I don't ever derive the now information about how it relates to my life from the then paragraph. I always draw the now application from the principles, always. If I don't, I've missed the whole work of going from then to always, because I can only apply, if I'm going to think about my life now, my marriage now, my parenting now, my relationship with friends now, I've got to take the application of the text, the now part. How does it relate to a 21st century Christian guy like me? I got to derive that from the eternal principles. If you go into the Bible like most people do, wow, let's check that out. What does that mean to me? You've totally slaughtered any kind of logical interpretation of the biblical text. Then, always, now. We call it the TAN method. The always thing that will help you with always, I said your study Bible will help you with the then. That's the stuff at the bottom of the page. In a good study Bible, and this isn't one, but you usually have a column in the middle that has cross references. That's what helps you with the always. Because those are other passages in other settings, in other geographies, at other times. Sometimes they take you to the Old Testament that touches on the same principle. And those cross-references become the key to me figuring out what the eternal principles are. Study notes, that's helpful. Those are historians. Those are people that look back in time. Help me bridge the then questions. Always cross-references. They take me to other texts that show me what applies outside of that text. The now, I guess you got to know yourself and pay attention to your own life and your own setting, but then write a paragraph that talks about what you're going to do today and what you should do today as a response to those biblical principles. Then always now, TAN method. How TAN are you, right? Get TAN. Lastly and briefly, quickly, with all this Bible study that I hope is motivated by this message, I don't want you to, number four, miss the point. Don't miss the point. Don't miss the point. This isn't about you being a Christian brainiac and knowing all the data of the Bible. Well, I thought it was about knowing the Bible. It is about knowing the Bible, but when you know about what the Bible says, that's not the goal, right? Let's start with two basic things. One is less important, the other is more important. They're both essential. You need to make sure that that book is changing your life, okay? The goal of the book is for you to be conformed to the image of his son. The goal is not that you know a lot and can beat everybody at, you know, Bible trivia baseball or whatever. It's that you are acting and thinking and responding to people more like Jesus Christ does. If you want a reference for that, there are several, but how about I give you a classic one? James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. That's the whole paragraph there. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. Because if you're a hearer only, you'll deceive yourself. You got to be a doer of the word. I love this. You're not a hearer who forgets what you read, right, or hear. You're a doer who acts. You constantly try to apply the text. You always have time for that now part. And you really are putting it into practice. Jesus, after the longest recorded sermon in the Bible, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he ends chapter 7 by saying this. Those who hear my words and put them into practice, right? That's the guy who builds his house on the rock. The guy who hears it and walks away and goes, well, that was interesting. I know a lot more now than I knew before. And you don't put it into practice. You're like the man who builds his house on the sand. Your life is no different or no better for knowing it. So we want to be more like Christ. That's one point. And that's kind of like the B point. Here's the A point, okay? Let's turn to a passage, John chapter 5. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 5. This is the ultimate point of the Bible. It's the point that the Pharisees in Jesus' day had missed. And here, Jesus is going to say, you know a lot about the Bible, but you've absolutely missed the point of the Bible. Look what he says here to the seminary professors of his day. John 5:37. Let's start there. 37 through 40, and the Father who has sent me, Jesus says, John 5:37, and the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. Now think about this. He's the Messiah. He comes from God, and he's saying, God has written all about me. That's what the Old Testament is about. It leads up to Christ. It paints a picture of the Messiah. Man, you should be able to see this. But look at this, middle of verse 37. His voice you have never heard. Can you imagine telling the most educated Bible person you know, you've never really even listened to the Bible. Huh. You missed it. You didn't even hear it. And his form you've never seen. Now that's kind of an enigmatic way to say it, because God has no form. The Bible's clear on that, right? John 4, he's spirit. He just said that in the last chapter. What's the point, though? Well, he is the embodiment, is he not? God was pleased for all the fullness of deity to dwell in Christ, Colossians 1. How about Hebrews 1? He is the exact representation of God's nature. He's standing before them. They're looking into the brown eyeballs of Christ, and he's saying, I am God in human form to carry out this whole redemptive plan. But you didn't even recognize me for who I was. And you do not have his word abiding in you. I know you think you got some facts rattling around in your head about the Bible. You can win Bible trivia with everybody, but you don't really know the Old Testament scripture, because if it were abiding in you, you'd trust in me. For you did not believe. You didn't trust. Pistuo. You didn't trust in me. The one whom he has sent. The one he talked about in the Old Testament. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. This is not what it's about. You're in it because it's a means to an end, not an end in itself. And it is they, the scriptures, that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse, love this phrase, to come to me that you may have life. That's the point. The point is not only to become more like Christ. The point is to love Christ and to know Christ. Not just to know about him, but to have a relationship with Christ that is real, that is genuine, that is growing because you spend time in his word. My soon-to-be wife, when we were teenagers and separated by 2,000 miles, tried to carry on this long-distance relationship. She was at UCI as a student, and I was at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. We had 2,000 miles separating us, and I know this is hard to believe, young people, but we didn't have cell phones, text messaging, email. We didn't even have computers. I know. We had this thing called a typewriter. Look it up on Wikipedia. It had these arms that slapped up at the paper and created words. It was really weird. It was loud. And because we didn't have all these modern forms of communication, and the love of our life was across the country, you see, there was this little thing at the bottom of our 20-story dorm that was a set of mailboxes on the wall, and they all had numbers on them, and we all had a number assigned to us. And usually mail got delivered around 10 o'clock in the morning. We had chapel every morning at 10, so when chapel was done, I would come down to the mail wall there, take my little key out, when I looked through that little glass window, and if I saw that little slanted envelope in there, there it was. There it was. And I'd reach in there, and I'd grab it, and I'd see my girlfriend's cute little handwriting on the front. Dearest Michael, you know. And I'd act like it didn't really affect me, but I'd grab it, and I'd throw it in my Bible, and I would take the elevator up to my dorm room, and then I'd crack that thing open, sit at my desk, close the door, start reading. Didn't ignore it. Didn't brush it off as a non-essential. It was essential, but it was not the point, right? I mean, it wasn't about me parsing the letter so that I could really say, I've mastered the second paragraph, man. I get it. No, I wanted to master the second paragraph, but it was all about the person that wrote it to me, see? I wanted a relationship with her. I couldn't wait for the time when I didn't need the letters, right? That's what I couldn't wait for. But because we were long distance, we had to have the letter. That was our means of communication. There's a time when you don't need Bible study. You'll be walking around with the living word. But right now, this is the word we have. And while you read it and study it, it's not about your pride. It's not about your mastery of verbs and nouns. It's not about you being a scholar. It's about you learning to love and know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Father in heaven is always pointing attention to the Son, saying, here he is. And the Holy Spirit is sent into the world to bring glory and attention to the Son. And as fallen human beings who found redemption in Christ through repentance and faith, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one all of the Scripture and the triune God's attention is pointing us to. And when you read this book, you need to see him in the Old Testament. When you read the New Testament, it's all about him. And it's all about us loving him with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. So get into the Word this week. Not because it's an assignment from your very demanding pastor, right? And don't do it so you can be a super smart Bible guy. Get into the Word of God because you want to be like Christ and you want to know and love Christ. Because this is the letter he sent. And sitting around on a rock and pondering God is not the answer. You want information about the only God that is. Get into this book this week. Let's pray. God, help us to give ourselves to this work like we never have before. Because it's good work. Don't let it be a burden to us. Let it be a joy for us to get into the Word. You prayed for this very reason. You prayed there in John 17, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. Set us apart in it. Let it be, as Colossians says, something that dwells in us richly. Let us like David in Psalm 119, verse 164, wake up every day and thank you for the word. He says there, seven times a day I thank God for his righteous rules. God, we're not thankful enough for this book. And we're certainly not into it like we should be. So help us, God. I pray for those that aren't on the daily Bible to get them in the community, this fraternity and sorority of loving your word and just talking about it together, moving through it together, reading it together. And then let us turn off the computer and open up your word and then dig into it just a sentence at a time, a line after line and a precept after precept, taking in and imbibing, drinking and eating the word of God, making it a part of our lives so that we can love you and know you better and we can become more like you. Make that a reality for this church, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We're getting back to the basics today on Focal Point in a message from Pastor Mike Fabares called Making the Most of Daily Bible Study. Now, if you missed any portion, you can purchase the CD of the complete series or download free audio files at focalpointradio.org. Line after line and verse after verse, Focal Point's been dedicated to providing mature believers with the solid food you crave. And Pastor Mike, wow, this past summer you celebrated 19 years on the air. What keeps this ministry going?
Yeah, David, it all goes back to God's word and its power to change lives. It is God speaking to mankind, and all the preaching is just trying to make it clear, give it explanation, help people see its meaning, to show how it can be applied. When the partners get together with this ministry and say, I want to partner financially to make this available in my area, and even if it's fully funded in their area, to have it expand in another area, that's what makes it possible. If you stand with those who care about the Word of God, its power to change lives, then I invite you to become a part of our Focal Point Partners program, which is a way for you to financially help us every single month get the Word of God out to more and more people. Your monthly gift that you give is really making a difference. And you need to know that as you listen to this program from day to day. It is changing people's lives, and we're so grateful for that. So thank you so much for supporting, if in fact you do.
Thanks, Pastor Mike. As servants and ambassadors in a dark world, we need to be strengthened and fed with regular, deep, and daily Bible teaching that goes beyond the surface. And that's what your dollars provide through this program. To become an agent of change, become a Focal Point partner today when you call 888-320-5885 or sign up online at focalpointradio.org. To say thanks, we'll send you the book 77 Frequently Asked Questions About God and the Bible, Your Toughest Questions Answered by Josh and Sean McDowell. How many times have you been put on the spot about what you believe and wished you had more solid answers at your disposal? Maybe you're thinking of someone who's asked you good questions in the past. Well, get this book today. It addresses 77 of the most common questions people have about God, with pithy responses using footnoted facts and thought-provoking logical reasoning. Never be stumped for the right answer again. A copy of 77 Frequently Asked Questions is yours for a financial gift to Focal Point today. Call 888-320-5885 or online go to focalpointradio.org. I'm Dave Drewy. Pastor Mike Fabares returns tomorrow with a look at prayer that works. That's right here Thursday on Focal Point. Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.